Good morning, Real Life Church. I would like to apologise in advance for my rather croaky voice. I do not normally sound like this. Yesterday, Stuart and myself were playing rock, paper, scissors on who was going to preach this morning. I lost. So he is at home in bed and I am here because out of the two of us, hard to believe, I sound better. Okay, so I just want to put that out there. If you're listening online and you come here to this church expecting this croaky, raspy-voiced woman, she won't exist next week. So you are very welcome here. My name is Melanie, and I will be sharing this morning's preach time, thankfully, with Johnny, because you will get to hear from someone that doesn't sound so croaky. We are introducing our brand new series, Resurrection People. And it is not lost on me this week as I was preparing about the power of God to bring things out of the grave and bring them to life, that at the same time my body started failing. So it is not lost on me that tension that we live in, where God is all powerful and God is incredible, but actually sometimes we have these stupid bodies that let us down. Can I get an amen from anyone? Anyone sometimes look at your body and think, oh, come on, like, you are better than this. You have the Spirit of God living in you. This morning I was telling my body, get in line. You have the resurrected Jesus living in you. How dare you fail? And then my body just carried on failing. So really listen to me. So we're starting our Easter series, Resurrection People. I do believe in the room, if you are sitting there thinking, I have that hope in my life. I know the resurrected Jesus, but sometimes my body fails me. I feel like you are in very good company today. I do, however, believe there are some things that God wants to bring out of the grave in this season, and he wants to bring to life, and he wants to remind us that not only is he a resurrection Jesus, but that actually we are a resurrection people. So the big idea for this whole series is that resurrection people are all about Jesus, aren't they? They're all about Jesus. They walk around knowing that he who called their name lived a perfect life, died for all their sins, was buried, and 3 days later was raised to life again. And because he is raised to life, because he defeated sin and death, so do we. We as his people get caught up in that. We are resurrection people. So even when my body fails me, I am part of the resurrection people. So today we're going to look at Peter and the apostles. In the Bible, they're called the disciples and then they're called the apostles. So they're the 12 minus the one and added in one, and they became the 12 apostles. Next week, Matt will look at Paul and Ananias. The week after, Stuart will look at Lydia, Paul and Lydia's household. That's our Easter Sunday message. That is a beautiful message of household salvation. Oh, I tell you, if you need to hear that, you get yourself here on Easter Sunday. I would, you know, encourage your people in your household who are not part of your household yet to come too. That'd be great. And then lastly, we've got myself up with Ro and Jackson. We're going to look at Paul, Silas, the jailer and the jailer's family. It is probably my favourite story from the book of Acts. It's a beauty. So I'm going to introduce the series. Johnny's going to join me and talk about Peter. And then I'm going to help us, if I have voice left, to apply it to our lives. If I don't, we'll just worship. So there were many people in the Bible who met the resurrected Jesus. So there were the women. They were some of the first, to be honest, that encountered Jesus out of the tomb. So you've got Mary Magdalene, you've got Mary, you've got, I don't know whether you call her Salome or Salome or Salome, but her. You've got Joanna and you've got some other women. You've got two disciples on the road to Emmaus. who met the resurrection Jesus. You've got all the disciples who were later called the apostles who met the risen Jesus. So I'll name them for you. You've got Peter, who sometimes is called Simon. You've got Andrew, who's Peter's brother. You've got James, who is the son of Zebedee. You've got John, who is James's brother. You've got Philip. You've got Bartholomew. No one calls their kids that these days. I think Bartholomew Bowen, that's a pretty good name. I'm just putting it out there, all right? That's a pretty good name. That's a strong biblical name. And I think it works for a girl or a boy. Just putting it out there. You've got Thomas. You've got Matthew, who in some accounts is called Levi, the tax collector. They're not two different people. That's Matthew, sometimes called Levi. You've got James, the son of Alphaeus. You've got Jude, also known as Thaddeus. I don't even understand that. Like, I'm Melanie, sometimes known as Mel. That makes sense to me. James, Jude, sometimes known as Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot. You've got Matthias, who took Jesus' place. These were all men who met the risen Jesus, met the resurrected Jesus. You've then got James, the brother of Jesus, who met the resurrection Jesus. You've got 500 people listed in 1 Corinthians 15:6 who met the resurrected Jesus. It's likely in the account they were 500 men. So it's likely in the account there were all their women with them and all their kids too. It's likely we're talking about easy 1,000 people who met with their own eyes the resurrected Jesus. You've then got Paul on the road to somewhere else who met the resurrection Jesus. And you could add in the 3,000 who were added to the church on the day of Pentecost who heard a message preached about the resurrection Jesus. You could add in, to be honest, Lydia and her household. You could add in the jailer, Silas. You could add in all the names that you read from Jesus' resurrection onwards. You could add in the church at large, because we all have had an encounter with the resurrection Jesus that has totally changed our lives. The thing we have in common is not that we are the resurrection people. It's that we know a God who is resurrected from the dead. The thing we have in common, the thing that joins us, the thing that unites us, the thing that gives us hope and a faith, is we know Jesus. And he did not stay in the grave. There is no body there. Love that in that song. Could sing that like little few lines over and over again. There is no body there. There has always been a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's always been a Jesus. He's always been there. But there was a point in time where he touched down on earth and put on flesh. And he lived this beautiful, sinless life. He then died in our place for all our sin. He took the sentence of death, the penalty of death, and paid it all on the cross. And then he was buried in the tomb. And in the tomb is where God did his most breathtaking work, because he took that sacrifice and said, enough. And then he raised Jesus bodily from death. There is no body in the tomb. And then coming out of the grave, he unleashed a new age. And I said to Stuart, I'm going to use the new age quite a few times. I don't want you to be freaking out thinking I've gone new agey. I think we redeem that phrase back. I think that belongs to the church. I think that belongs to God. What God ushered in was a new age of men and women who had encounters with a risen Jesus. So they got up differently. They walked through their pain differently. They had a different hope because their God had been raised to life again. Because he is the resurrection, so am I. Which is a beautiful new age, and it is the age of the church. It is the age of the Spirit. It is a new age that comes out of the tomb that we need to step into. What it does not mean, which I was helpfully reminded this morning by Sarah Brewer, who sent me a great video just talking. I won't steal her thunder because she'll probably share it later. But basically what that does not mean is we do not suffer, that we are not in pain, that there is not darkness. What it means is we have a hope that looks so different because our God is not in the tomb. There is no body in the grave. He is raised to life. Therefore, so am I. I am part of the resurrection people. It means I walk through the valley so differently to if I did not know him and did not have him. See, resurrection people hear God call their name and they make a decision to follow him. And everything that is at his disposal because of the resurrection is at ours. So the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. I told my body that many times this morning. Actually, I tried to yell it, but I didn't have enough power. So I'm going to read something from the Bible, then Johnny's going to come up and share about Peter. If you've got a Bible with you and you want to turn to it, it's Matthew 4, 18 to 20. What you all know about me is it's not going to appear on the screen behind me. There will be a static picture. I was making the staff team laugh on Friday because I said, I am the visual aid when I'm speaking. I don't really want anyone looking at the screen. So you have to look at me and open your Bibles if that's all right. So I'm going to read Matthew 4, 18 to 20. It says, one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew. Andrew's only got one name. Poor Andrew. He was throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, and he said, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once, and they followed him. So I will simply say, before I hand over to Johnny, that Peter and all the other apostles that I listed and named earlier saw Jesus. They saw him with their own eyes. They heard Jesus call their name. It is not an accident in the Bible that names are listed over and over again. There's sometimes the chapters we skip through and go, oh gosh, a whole big list of names. It is because God knows our names and he calls us by name. Personally. And then they followed him. There was something about him that made them drop their nets, get up and follow him. They made a decision on that day that Jesus was worth following. And resurrection people make that decision every day. They make the decision to see Jesus, to hear him call their names, and then they make a choice to follow him no matter what. So Johnny, I'm going to get rid of my notes. You will come and take the stage.
Cool. Hello, everyone. So quick introduction for those of you that don't know me. My name, as Mel's already said, is Johnny. I'm married to the lovely Abby, who's here. We have three crazy and lovely boys called Tyler, Ethan, and Leo. I am on the youth team here at Real Life, and also I co-lead a life group. So that's a little bit about me. So following on from what Mel has said, I'm going to look at what the resurrection looked like for Peter and how he was transformed and raised to life, okay? So if you wouldn't mind turning in your Bibles or your phones or your tablets to Acts 2, verses 14 to 21. And then also we'll be looking at verses 37 to 41. I don't know if it'll be on the screen behind us, will it? Might be. Oh, there we go. Cool. So I'll just give you a second to find that in your Bibles, and then we'll get started. So it's quite a long passage, so if you bear with me, hopefully my voice doesn't turn into a croaky mess. When Mel told me on Friday, when she turned up, we were doing youth on Friday night, and then Mel turned up, and she was like, hello, Johnny. I was like, what? I was like, my first thought was, you're going to be okay for Sunday, right? Do you know what I mean? I can't just double my sermon in like a day. But thank you. Thank you, Lord. Mel's been able to talk. Okay, cool. Let us read then. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then we're looking at verse 37 to 41 as well. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit." This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Okay, cool. So what did the resurrection look like for Peter? And how, despite his doubts and failures, was he raised to life? Okay, so I just want to look at 8 facts about Peter, okay? Get you in that mind frame of who he is, okay? So, as you know, Peter was a fisherman by trade, and he left that to follow Jesus. Peter and his brother Andrew joined Jesus early in his ministry, and they were with him right up until his death. Peter was one of the 12 disciples. He was married, although we don't know her name, but we know that he had a wife. Peter's name was changed from Simon to Peter, which means rock. And Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." Peter became the leader of the apostles. Peter performed many miracles, such as healing a crippled beggar. Peter had a key role in the church as the first apostle to confess the faith, the first apostle to preach to the Jews on Pentecost, and the first apostle to preach to the gospel. To preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Okay? So let's think about what the resurrection looked like for Peter. It talks in the scriptures that Peter was unschooled, so therefore he would have been untrained in Mosaic law, and he most likely wouldn't have known Greek either, okay? So I think he's pretty much just an ordinary person, just like you and me. So I'm thinking, when did Peter truly know who Jesus was? Do you think it was when Andrew, his brother, was out and he heard what John the Baptist said about the Messiah? And he ran back to find Peter and he was like, come and see, I've found the Messiah. So it seemed like Andrew knew at that point. Or do you think Peter truly knew who Jesus was when he witnessed his mother-in-law being healed of that illness? Or do you think it was when Jesus performed that miracle on the boat, where he performed that miraculous catch of fish? Because I'm thinking, if he truly knew at that point, when Jesus said, cast your nets in, but he replied, oh, master, I've been out all night trying to fish and I haven't caught a single thing, and you want me to cast my nets back in? I'm thinking, if he truly knew at that point, do you not think he would be like, yeah, sure thing. I've got more nets in the shore. Do you want me to like bring them as well? And you can like fill up those nets. Regardless of when it was, we know the point at when he definitely knew who Jesus was. In Matthew, 16:13-16, Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say I am? Or who does people say I am? Or the Son of Man is. And the disciples sort of reply, oh, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, others say one of the prophets. And then Jesus replies, who do you say I am? And Peter boldly proclaims, you are the Son of the living God, the Messiah, Son of the living God. And then what does Jesus say to him? He says, blessed are you, hashtag blessed are you. He probably didn't say the hashtag. Blessed are you, because this was not revealed to you by blood and flesh alone. Was it flesh and blood alone? It was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. So the Bible presents Peter as compassionate and loyal to Jesus. But as you know, he also shows doubt, doesn't he? Even when he denied Jesus 3 times. But the good news is he was still part of that resurrection people. He was still raised to life. I feel that when Peter was went with his Christian crowd, the other believers, that he felt much easier to be bold and courageous and stand up for what he believed. And, you know, stand up for Jesus, be on fire. But then when it came to him being outside of that safe group, for example, when he was questioned about his association with Jesus, what happened? Things looked a little different, didn't it? It was much harder. And then he began to crumble. And that led to him denying Christ 3 times. So I want to look at how did Peter go from there, from denying Christ, to being raised to life and being part of that resurrection people. So I want to look at 2 encounters. The first one, in John 21, Jesus asked Peter 3 times if he loved him. And what I love about that, I think that is beautiful. If you really look into that passage, what I think is beautiful about that is Jesus gives him the chance to reaffirm his commitment the same amount of times that Peter denied him. How awesome is that? You know? So isn't it amazing that even though that he denied Christ, God still had a plan, a mission, and an assignment for him. Number 2, it wasn't until the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon all the believers, that Peter was truly transformed and raised to life. Okay? He became part of that resurrection people. On the day of Pentecost, it talks about how the apostles were in one place, and what happened, a roaring wind came from heaven. And the Holy Spirit descended upon all the believers. And they began to speak in tongues and unknown languages. And what was crazy is the Jews that were sort of from all around the world, they obviously came to hear what this commotion was going on, this roaring wind. You would be a bit intrigued, wouldn't you? So they went up to see what was going on. And what did they come to see and hear? The believers talking in their own native languages. And then Peter, being so filled with the Holy Spirit, he started saying, these people aren't drunk. This is a fulfillment of prophecies long ago. And he started rattling off prophecies found in Joel and Psalms. And we'll just quickly look at them. So Peter shares from the book of Joel to explain what is happening. This is a fulfillment, you know, of a long-awaited prophecy. And then he uses another prophecy, another 2 prophecies found in Psalms, both from David. David talks about how one would come, one would defeat death, and that death would have no power over him. And another prophecy that David said was how one day someone would come and his Lord would ascend to heaven and would sit next to his Father on the throne. And it says, so Peter, just think about it. Peter must have spoke with such boldness and such conviction through the power of the Holy Spirit, because it says Peter's words pierced their hearts. And I can just imagine them shouting out in desperation, like, brothers, what shall we do? You know, and to what have we, as we've read, he replies, you need to repent of your sins, you need to turn to God, and you need to be baptized, and then the Holy Spirit will come to you. And then it mentions how Peter spoke for a long time after that. And then what was the end result? 3,000 people were saved and added to the church that day. Isn't it interesting that for every time Peter denied Christ, that 1,000 believers got added to the church that day? 3,000 in total. Now, I'm not saying that you need to sin or deny Christ in order for God to advance his kingdom. But what I am saying is God is so merciful that, as it says in Romans 8:28, that for God works all things together for his good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Peter knew what he did was wrong when he denied Christ. It says that he wept bitterly afterwards. But God still used him mightily. God still restored him. And he became part of that resurrection people, didn't he? I mean, God made him the leader of the early church. That's a pretty big title, right? I find it so reassuring that God can use our broken and messy lives too, and he can turn it around for his good and make us part of the resurrection people too. I'm sure you will agree, like just like Peter, sometimes in our Christian circle, you know, maybe on a Sunday, in our life groups, whenever we're around Christian people, it's much easier to be more Christ-like, isn't it? But what about the other 6 days of the week or the other times in the week where we're maybe surrounded by non-Christians? What does that look like for us? Do you know, things can become a bit harder, can't it? And some, maybe like Peter, we can begin to crumble. We can have times where we begin to crumble. But remember, God has placed you in that workplace. He's placed you in that school. He's placed you in that situation for a reason. You know, God's put you there to make a difference. And our mission's the same mission as Peter's. It's the same. We've got the same assignment. It's no different. We're called to tell people of the good news about Jesus. But the great news for us is that same Holy Spirit that was available to Peter back then and the believers back then is available to us today, and how important it is for us to make use of that. I know for me at work, it's very difficult. So I have to rely on the Holy Spirit every day. So I sometimes laugh to myself, but God must think I'm a broken record. Because when I'm driving to work, I'll be asking the Holy Spirit the same thing, not just for protection, but for boldness and strength to stand up for what I believe in. But I'm sure he wants me to continue to praise him. Do you know? Peter knew that through Christ's death and resurrection, that he was raised to life. And the good news is that we also can be raised to life and be part of that resurrection people. And Peter understood the importance of preaching the good news to all, understanding everyone's need for salvation. And what a transformation when he did it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Mel. Over to you.
It was an absolute picture seeing Johnny's face on Friday night when I went to open my mouth and no voice came out. And I hadn't quite appreciated that I might have needed to say, it's okay, someone will speak with you. So thank you so much, Johnny. So I'm going to land this for us, she says. Missing page, but it's all right. It's here. Resurrection people have this in common. They see Jesus. And the question I want to ask you today is, no matter what is going on in your world, can you see Jesus? Are you making time to see Jesus? Are you getting yourself in places where you can see Jesus? Are you opening your Bibles, opening your eyes, putting on worship songs? Are you consciously positioning yourself so that you can see the Messiah? Are you watching out for times when he speaks, times when he reveals? Lately, the Holy Spirit has been saying to me, open your eyes. And I've been really consciously pausing and making decisions to look around me. It has resulted in me seeing some incredible things. And pausing for moments when I'm around people, just saying, where are you, Jesus? What's going on here? So if I'm with you and I'm looking up at the ceiling, which is often what I do, it's not because I think Jesus lives up there, it's because it takes my eyes off the distractions of the natural, and I will just avert my gaze like I'm doing now. It's not that angels are situated, although I think they are. It's not that that's what's going on. It's that I am training myself to just look and pause for a moment and go, Jesus, what are you doing? And then I will re-engage with what's going on around me. Open your eyes, open your Bible. Some people say, I never hear God. And I'll say to them, when was the last time you read your Bible? And they'll go, oh, no, I'm rubbish at that. And I really just want to, in grace, smack them round the back of the head. So if you ever say that to me, I don't hear God. Oh, no, but I don't read my Bible. Oh, my gosh, just duck, okay? One of the best ways you will be able to hear God is by opening the Word of God. It's where he speaks all the time. Sometimes we don't see Jesus because we're just not opening up the book where you can find him. He called their name. We need to hear him call our name again and again. We need to understand that he has plans for us, not just for Peter, not just for the other apostles, the other disciples, the people in the Bible, but for us. He not only knows our name, but he knows what we should be up to. Resurrection people are filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the power that raised Christ from the dead. And it's the same power available to us. And we need to be in the habit of being filled with the Spirit, praying for one another to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have not done that recently in your life groups, do that. Lay hands on one another. Don't just go through your list of things that you want prayer for. Actually get the Holy Spirit at work in each other and then go out and face those things differently. It's often in my own experience that God hasn't magically got rid of all of my tough circumstances. He has said to me, I'll go with you. I have more stories of that than anything else. I wish I had stories of miraculous breakthrough. I got some. Most of the ones I've got are stories where God has said, I will go with you. And I have managed to walk through stuff with him. And I think we need to have a mindset shift. I think it's okay to know that you're in darkness. It's okay to know that you're struggling. It's okay to face pain. And all those things are part of our world. It is a broken, battered world, and we are broken, battered people. But we have this hope within us, which is we are resurrection people. There is something about us that has been raised to life. And my body increasingly, and my spirit and my being is increasingly becoming more and more like Jesus. And there are things that he wants me to encounter and experience in my world that is shockingly broken. Even in my body that is shockingly broken, there are things he wants me to know, and there is breakthrough he wants me to have. And I don't want us to miss that in this season. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. So worship team, I'm going to invite you to come up. I'm going to encourage us as a people to see Jesus, to meet him, to understand that he is alive in us, and to go out into our worlds as resurrection people. That doesn't mean we will be singing and dancing all the time. That doesn't mean it'll be easy. That means same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. That means I face stuff differently. I worship differently. I live differently because I am part of a resurrection people. So I'd love you to stand. We're going to worship. We're going to see what God might want to say to us. I would encourage you to leave this place knowing Jesus more. Someone said recently that they end each day and they say to Jesus, I hope I am more like you by the end of the day than I was at the start. That is our goal, people, that we would become more and more like him. And that same power that raised him from the dead would indeed be evident in our lives. So let's stand, let's worship, Let's see what he might want to do with us. Be prepared in this season for dead things to come to life. Be prepared for you to feel that same power at work in your places and your spaces. Be prepared in your own bodies to experience that same power.